Don't fight it. Honor the authority that's over you. That's all Paul's saying in this. That makes sense? And don't be contentious or fight over it. The question, what's the takeaway in all this? Well, the question is this. Is there an area in your life where you are bucking and fighting and resisting authority? And you're not submitting to that authority?
Thank you for taking time to worship with us. My name is Floyd Bland, and on behalf of all of us here, I would like to welcome you to Paso Robles Community Church. We are located in California's beautiful Central Coast, in the pristine settings of Paso Robles. Love God, make friends, change the world. That's our motto here, and I feel that that is the call we strive to live out daily on a moment-by-moment basis as believers. So we pray that the time you share with us here in worship will enable you with God's grace and empower you through His Spirit to do just that. Now, I'm a rabid fan of the Los Angeles Lakers, so I'm going to use that organization as an example, if you will allow. See, if head coach Luke Walton decided to cast off his assigned role as coach and put on a jersey and play again, as much as I love him, it would then become a team without guidance. That's his role, to guide. Now, if LeBron James cast off his role as a player, decided to put on a suit and sit on the sideline and coach, the team would sorely miss his contribution, his presence, and his leadership on the court. And I would cry many, many tears. See, both characters are equally valuable while they're assigned completely different roles. And the topic of roles, specifically gender roles, in our society can bring about very passionate and, let's say, possibly heated conversation. And so, Five Principles for Gender Roles in God's Order is the title of this message. And today, our journey takes us through 1 Corinthians 11, verses 2 through 16. We'll read through the importance of roles, specifically gender roles in God's creation and their importance. And with that, let us tune our ears and hearts to today's message from our pastor, Sean Penn.
Love how it's getting quiet. Hopefully it's getting quiet just because you're ready to hear from the Lord, not because the topic and the subject matter over the last few weeks, right? Paul, in 1 Corinthians, is starting to get into some of the weeds, right? He's been writing to the church in Corinth, and he's been trying to address the questions that they raised, and he's trying to respond to those. And a lot of times we don't even know what the questions were. We just kind of surmise based on his answer. And today's no different. In fact, today could be considered maybe a little controversial for some of us. It's a pretty hot topic in our culture. And if I had my way, I'm thinking I wouldn't even probably teach on this right now. But this is the beauty of opening up a Bible and going through it book by book, verse by verse, because it's like you have to. All right? So all I'm going to do is I'm going to try to present this. Don't throw rocks, tomatoes at me. All right? It's just what the Scripture says. So, in fact, some of you, if you find yourself wrestling with this, let me just be clear. This is not a salvation issue, okay? This does not. If you agree with what is being presented or you disagree with what's being presented, it doesn't mean that you're a follower of Jesus or not, all right? This is kind of one of those in-house explanations. But I think if you wrestle with this, I think it just is going to be reflective maybe of your intent, to try to walk with Christ in our culture right now. So that may be where the tension's coming from, because we live in a really confusing culture, right? And I think when we get to that spot where we run into something that's controversial in Scripture, right, we have one of two options. In fact, this is true in anything when you run into it. You watch it on the news or whatever. Where do you turn? You have two options. You can either turn to the Word of God. You can turn to the Lord himself, right? The one who's existed for all eternity, the one who's made us all in his image, the one who has declared for us his truth, made sure, gone to great lengths to preserve that truth. And we could turn there to try to find the wisdom and the counsel. Or the other option, we turn to us. We turn to our opinion. We turn to our friends. We turn to our professors. We turn to a lot of other people other than God himself. Those are the two options, really. At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. And so as we get going through this morning, those are going to be the two options at the end of the day. You're either going to say, no, you know what, I'm not in agreement with you because of everything else I'm hearing, or I'm going to have to figure out how I can integrate what the Bible is saying into my life. All right, so those are my kind of introductory prefatory comment. And you probably, as you look at your notes, you're like, oh, what's he even talking about? We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 2 through 16. And it's really gender roles in God's order. And so what I want to do this morning is I'm going to pray. We're going to open this in word of prayer. And then we're going to read the passage together. All right? Because if I'm just taking it apart, you're going to sometimes miss the bigger picture. So I want to read all those verses together because you're going to go like, what? Right? And there's an interesting passage because some denominations have made huge denominational decisions on this passage, not understanding the cultural context. And so I'm going to try to just present what the Bible says and try to unpack some of the principles that are timeless, all right? So if you join me in a word of prayer, and then let's read the passage together. Our Father, we come before you as our living God, as the author of truth. Lord, we never want to handle your truth arrogantly or try to fit your truth into our presuppositions or our ideology. And so, God, we ask you to humble us this morning, that we would hear your word afresh. And, Father, that we would live according to that, that we would be authentic in our faith. And so, Lord, would you speak to us, guide us, open your word, instruct us today. We ask, Holy Spirit, you would do that. Take your written word and apply it to our mind and our hearts so we can honor you, Lord, in everything we do. And we pray this through Christ our Savior. It's in his name. Amen. 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 So here's the passage of Scripture. Let's get into this. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'll just read verse 2, all right, because this is kind of like an introductory statement. Paul's just writing now. He's made a transition from all three chapters about don't abuse your freedom, right? And now he's going to make a transition. And as he makes the transition, he says, I want you to know, you guys have been doing good, right? Just like everybody here. You're here again today, you're doing good, all right? Thanks for being here. I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the traditions just as I passed them on to you. So he basically says, guys, thanks for sending me the questions you had and remembering me and not trying to just stumble through this or divide the church of God. All right, so thank you for remembering me. And holding fast to the traditions or the teaching, literally, of everything that's been passed on to you. Good job. But we got to press forward here. So let's read this together. Ready? Clear your throat. Let's read. But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It's the same as having her head shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, she might as well have her hair cut off. But it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved. Then she should cover her head. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. It is for this reason that a woman ought to have authority over her own head because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not the very nature of things teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a disgrace to him, but that if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? For long hair is given to her as a covering. If anyone wants to be contentious about this, we have no other practice, nor do the churches of God. Isn't that clear? Aren't you blessed and ready to go home right now? It's like, what? Guys can't have long hair? What? You are disgraced, man. Yeah, no, it's like, so, right, we read these things and we're like, oh, and we make these connections to our culture. We're like, okay, that's the Bible says dudes can't have long hair and ladies can't have short hair. Look around. Really? So there's some other things we need to understand. Remember, Corinth is a very active economic center. It has not one port, but two ports. It is the fashion and entertainment industry of ancient Greece, strong economy. But because of all of this, right, what's going on in Corinth begins to affect what's going on in the church. And if you've been here for any length of time, Corinth started running crazy with sexual immorality and tolerance of different lifestyles. In fact, they even blended religion to say it's okay to have sexual relationships out of your marriage covenant. You're going to connect with God better. There was freedom that was being abused, and people within the church were not getting paid for work that were being done. And so then they began to take each other to court. And they were not even being concerned about what their brother was going through or where they were in their spiritual life. And they're like, oh, I can do whatever I want. All things are lawful for me. And it was destroying the faith of other people in the church, right? Here's the deal. Apparently, if you know your history, right, there's a guy by the name of Aristotle. Anybody heard of Aristotle? Greek philosopher. I'm not going to ask you your opinion of him. All I'm going to say is that he actually taught, if you read his writings, right, that there was an order. You had animals, and you had men, and somewhere between there you had women. Women were just a little better than men, or a little better than animals. Some of you are like, yeah, that's my man. He's an animal. Sorry. A little better than the animals, but not quite as good as the men. And the women are like, right, that's pretty chauvinistic. And I'm going to concede it is. Right? As well as you should, too, by the way. Not good. Well, by the time the church in Corinth gets established, the women are like, we are not going to give in for this. We're going to exert our rights as equal to the men. And so what they would do, what they started to do, there was a tradition in Corinth and some of the early churches. In fact, even in our culture, you watch old Westerns, you'd see church services, right? And women would come in wearing dresses, and they'd have bonnets on their head or doilies or something, right? Same thing in ancient Greece. When, I know, I don't know what they call them. They're head coverings. So, I've got a whole bunch of doilies at the house if you want them. But in ancient Greece, apparently, they had a tradition as well in the church. When you show up in the church, out of sign of respect and submission to the authority above you, a woman was to put her hair up, or she was to have a veil or a covering over it. And it was just a sign of respect and submission to the authority that was above them. Well, what was going on in the greater community, this radical feminism that started permeating Corinth, and the women were like, we're not going to abide by that. And so they started showing up into church, and their hair was hanging long, or they were cutting their hair to look like dudes. All right? So that's what's going on. And this is what is causing an issue within the church in Corinth. And the people, it was the whole division was starting to make its way through this church. And the church was becoming divided and like, what are we supposed to do with this? Right? And one side wanted to just to force the other side to shape up and just to get on with it. And the other side's like, no, embrace it. So what do we do with that? And it's interesting. Paul goes back and he says, we got to address, I think, a bigger issue. And I'm going to say right up front, I think a lot of what Paul gives is going to be very cultural, all right? It's going to be very cultural for them, not for us. But there is a principle that we can lift up out of this, all right? So I'm going to give you these principles, five principles, and I'll give the verse just to see that I'm not just making this stuff up, and we'll try to unpack it as we make our way through here. All right, so here's the first principle. In your notes, there is no distinction in gender worth. There is a distinction in gender roles. In the eyes of God, men and women are equal. You are created equal. there is no distinction in the eyes of God. When he looks down on us right now, and he's looking at the ladies and he's looking at the guys, you're equal in his sight, right? That is not a question. And Paul is like, that's a given. You've been made in the image of God. We read that, right? In fact, if you go back to the Old Testament, we look in Genesis, when God is creating. I believe we got this verse up here. Let's pull it up here. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created who? Them. Male and female, he created them. Our gender identity, it's fixed in the eyes of God. He's the one who created us, male and female, all right? And basically, the idea, you're all equal. And the implied argument is like, if God has fixed your gender and he made you as a guy, right, why would you despise what God made you? If God made you as a woman, why would you despise what God made you? You're all in the image of God. In our culture, right now, we got a lot of different words to try to explain gender, right? I think I just pulled up a few. We got people who are saying they're gender neutral. That's just somebody who says, I don't really necessarily identify, and I could be wrong on this, you have to correct me, but the best I understand this is people say, I don't necessarily identify with being a male, or I don't necessarily identify with being a female. I'm kind of neutral on this whole thing right now, right? Others say bi-gender. I kind of identify with both, right? Some are called cisgender. Anybody heard of that? I know, you heard of it, right? This is somebody who says, you know what? I've examined the evidence, and I identify with the gender God gave me at birth. That's all it means. I'm in agreement. God made me a man. I like being a man. All right. Our language today is you're cisgender. And somebody, some schools even right now are saying that's hate language. If you say you're cisgender, right? No, just I'm not making this stuff up, right? So we got to be, it's just tolerance on our side, understanding. Let's understand some of this, where we're going. Gender fluid is, hey, I could be one, I could be the other. There's just this the fluidity. Maybe I'll be a male, maybe I'll be a female. Transgender, right, is somebody who doesn't identify with either one. Or maybe I'm a guy and I don't identify with myself. I identify more with a female. Or female says, hey, I don't identify with being a female, and I identify more with the male. And then the big word right now is transitioning. Making that transition between them, right? So you see this confusion? We're seeing it right now. Well, 2,000 years ago, they're driving in the same cul-de-sac, and they're having the same issues and the same arguments. And Paul comes in, and he says, hey, listen, God's already set your gender, and you're equal worth in the eyes of God, all right? In fact, when God made humanity, male and female, at the end of his creative process, go back at verse 31, what's he say? God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Man, good. Woman, very good. Yeah, man and woman, right? Very good. To see if you guys were listening, all right? So it's not about the gender worth. There's no distinction in gender worth. But when it comes to the role, Paul just hops right into this. And he says, there is an order based on God's plan. There is a role that is assigned to the women. There's a role that's assigned to man, based on God's creative order, right? And so this is what he says back in the verse. But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. You see his argument here? And he goes full circles. Here I am as a man. Who's my authority over me? Christ. I'm in relationship with this woman. Who is the authority over this woman? Man. But who's the authority over Christ? God. Do you see where Paul puts this whole man and female relationship in this verse? Right in the middle. Because some of us were like, I like the fact that man is subject to Christ, and I like the fact that Christ is subject to God. I don't like what the woman is subject to man. And Paul throws it in there and is like, you know, if you like the first and the third, you have to like the second. If you destroy the second, you destroy the first or the third. All right? There is an order, and it's an order of headship based on God's creative order. And the word head here is interesting. Here's the Greek word. I put it in your notes, right? It's kephale. You want to say that with me? Kephale. It means somebody who's in a position of authority. It can mean chief or ruler. In that context, it means someone who is superior over somebody who is inferior. It can mean that. Or it can mean origin and source, like headwaters, right? And so what I think Paul is using is in the latter right here. It's in the sense of origin or source. Man is the head over woman because man came before woman. It's just an order. It's a role that God created, okay? And then Christ, his head is the Father. Would any of us in this room, would we argue that there is an equality difference between God the Father and God the Son? Wouldn't we say that God the Father and God the Son are the same? They're equal in their nature. Their worth is the same. Even Jesus said, I and the Father are one. But even in their roles, there was an authority and there was a submission. The Father was in authority and the Son was in the place of submission. Imagine if the Son did not fulfill his role. If the Son did not fulfill his role, we would not have salvation. Your redemption would be lost. And on top of that, there would be a war within the Godhead because the Son and the Father would not be in agreement. Right? In the same way, if man does not submit to his authority, who is Christ, our salvation is lost. If we do not submit to the lordship and the headship of Jesus Christ, your salvation is gone, right? In the same way, if a woman does not submit to the leadership or the headship of her husband, there is going to be a train wreck in that family. This is the way God set it up. There is a role. That role is based on not inferiority or superiority. The role is based, Paul says, on the order of the creative act. God made man first. God could have made man and woman at the same time, right? There they are. He could have. But he made the man, and then he made the woman, and he didn't make the woman out of her head, right? There's somebody said, didn't make the woman out of the head to rule over the man, right? That's radical feminism. Nor did he make the woman out of the man's foot or his heel, right? That would be chauvinism. He made her where? Out of the rib, out of the side, so they would be equal, their partner. They're equal in God's eyes. Ladies, you're equal in God's eyes. Guys, the ladies, they're equal in God's eyes. But God has given a very distinct role for everybody. The Father plays a unique role, the Son plays a unique role, the man plays a unique role, and the woman plays a unique role. So let's get our first thing I think Paul is trying to do is just flip that switch a little bit. This is not about equality. This is about understanding the role that God has built into the universe. You experience this on a daily basis, probably. How many of you have a job that has a boss? You have a boss over you, right? How many of you are inferior to your boss? No, none of you are. No, you go to work and it's like your boss is in that position because he was there first a lot of times. Or he has more experience and they brought him in someplace else. And you have to say, okay, I will submit to that authority that's over me, right? That's what Paul is saying. There's an order to the way God put things into the universe. If we go against that, then we are destroying what God has created. And I'll tell you, when we begin to mess with this, and Emerson Eggerich in Love and Respect, I don't know if you've read this or been through his seminars, he talks about the crazy cycle that we get on as couples. I think I got a graphic here, took out of his book, right? So a man is the head because the man is the head. According to Jesus, a man has responsibility to love his bride as Christ loved the church. You got to be willing to lay down your life, lay down all your trinkets and toys so you can invest in the nature of God in your wife and to build her up and to bless her, right? Guys, that's your charge. Without love, if you're like, I'm going to assert my role over my wife and I'm going to dominate my wife and I'm not going to show love, how will your wife react? She reacts, as he says, without respect. She's like, oh, yeah, who do you think you are? Right? And when she reacts without respect, he reacts without love. And we get in this crazy cycle. Because God set it up as the authority, gentlemen, created first. You have a responsibility to be the head and the authority over your wife. Doesn't mean you lord it over her or you demand or belittle her. You love her, you protect her, you support her, you invest in her, you build her up. And woman, you are to submit and honor the man that God placed in your life as honoring the Lord. It's pretty straightforward in what God is trying to say. There is an order, all right? So before they start coming in and taking off their covering and letting their hair hang down, right? Let's remember, God set something up. And there's an order to what God has set up. In fact, just a real quick comment on this. How many of you ladies, if your husband would get up and he would actually lead the way Paul described, right? He shows up to you one day and he says to you, honey, I know you've had a hard day. It's been a hard week. You've been investing so much and pouring yourself out so much, and I want to nurture that in you, and I think what you could really use right now is just a day off. So here you go. Here's a pass to the spa. Just go and enjoy a day at the spa. Just pamper yourself. How many of you women would say, no, I'm not going to submit to that? Right? How many? This is not an issue of headship versus slavery. This is the order that God has placed, right? And I think every woman in here would say, oh, I'm waiting for the day my husband does that. Just putting out there, guys. So Paul's first, there's an order. Let's keep going. The second is we submit now to God's order of authority. We have to submit to that order of authority. Let's read the passage. Woo! Every man who prays or prophesies, what is praying? That's when you are talking to God. A lot of times we talk to God about people, right? Prophesying, that's when we talk to people about God, right? There's a two-way street here, praying and prophesying. When he does that with his head uncovered, he's dishonoring his head, right? Something on your head is a sign of submission. Since a man, right, made in the image of God, is the glory, we'll read this in just a second. Anyhow, all he's saying is that this is not good for a guy to have your head covered, right? In fact, that's a girl thing to do in our culture. So dudes, don't come in here trying to look like a lady. It's really what he's saying, all right? Every man who prays or prophesies with the head covered dishonors his head, but every woman who prays, talks to God, or prophesies, she's teaching and proclaiming. And what's cool about this, listen, every woman, that means every woman in here, Paul's already like, you're equal in the eyes of God. You have every much right, as do the guys, to pray and to prophesy. So understand this equality, all right? It's lifting. Every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It's the same as having her head shaved. What does he mean by that? Listen, in Corinth, like I said earlier, the only woman who would come in to a temple or to the church and drop their hair out of their bun or take the covering off their head were women who were prostitutes. The prostitutes in Corinth were the ones that had their hair down and curled and flaunting themselves. So he's like, whoa, you know, you don't want that. If you're going to take that covering off, you might as well just go ahead and go the full way, and that is just whoop, 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 cut your hair off and go ahead and actually try to look like a dude. That's what he's saying. Cut your hair, shave it off so you can look like one of the guys. You might as well go the full way. This is not okay. You see, it's about, I'm not satisfied with my role that I have, and I want to be in that role. And so I'm going to take the role of a man. I want to look like a man, and I want to practice what a man can practice. And Paul's like, whoa, time out. In the church, this isn't okay. There's a principle there. For if a woman does not cover her head, she might as well have her hair cut off. But if it's a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off, right? If she's cutting it off to look like a dude and to act like a dude, if it's a disgrace, then she should cover her head. Why not? So we submit to that authority that God has placed, the order that God has placed. God's created order. He's created roles. Our responsibility is to submit to those order that God has placed into effect. That makes sense. Some of you are like, I don't know. The tension you're feeling is like, whoa, our culture says something different, Pastor. This is what Paul is teaching us in the Word of God. We submit to that. Let me just jump to the third one. We'll keep moving. Number three, our gender roles are complementary. That's not Paul's word. That's my word. But if Paul had that word, I think he would have used that word. If you look through the scriptures, what I mean by compliment is not like, oh, she makes me nice. She's complimenting me. No, it's compliment like completing. You complete me, right? I didn't do that justice. That's Jerry Maguire quote. So our gender roles are complementary. You look at scripture, right? God creates all these complementary pairs. You get the heaven and earth, right? You get the sun and the moon. You get the land and the sea, right? When he's creating, he's creating all these complementary pairs. When they come together, they make a fuller picture of the original design. Light and darkness, male and female. God has created us to complement one another, not to lord it over, one's superior, one's inferior, but we're equal, and together, the world gets to see a better picture, a fuller picture of what it means to be truly human. And I don't know about you guys, but I know that I've been married 28 years this October. I'm a much better man because of my wife. There is so much that I have learned about God through her because she relates to God a lot differently than I do. And yet it's just as equal in the sight of God. And she's much more nurturing than I am. She's kinder than I am. She's better looking than I am. Yes, we'll leave it. I just got to get some brownie points. Ding! Gender roles are complementary. Where do we get that? Let me try to unpack this. A man ought not to cover his head, right? Don't take that off, since he's the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. Listen, the continuation of the image is already built in, but the distinction of role is what Paul is highlighting. But woman, who is also in the image of God, is the glory of man. Man was created to reflect the authority that was over him, who was God the Father. And woman, just like man should be reflecting God, a woman is to be reflecting the authority, as she submits to it, of the man that God's placed in her life. Right? We complement one another on this. For man did not come from woman, right? But woman from man. You see what Paul's doing? He's going back to the creation narrative again. At the beginning, who was created first? Man. Adam was. And then out of his side comes Eve, right? Neither was man created for woman, because he was first in that order, but woman for man. And before you go, what? Doesn't that make me a slave? No, it makes you a helper and a helpmate. And in fact, isn't that what we read even in the creation account, where God looked at man? I think we got the passage, Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be what? Alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. It's going to be an equal who's going to be able to run hard with him, work hard with him, and they're going to be able to do exactly what I'm asking the human race to do, and they can do it together, right? And that sense of helper, when you get to the New Testament, you know who else is called a helper? The Holy Spirit, a paraclete, parakletos. So women, you literally get to play the role of the Holy Spirit in the lives of your family. Guys, if you ever have a question, just turn to your wife. Say, what would you say right now? Get her opinion. She's a part of the team. We complement one another. We're designed that way. Let's keep going. So the flip on that, right? If the man is not respecting the woman, right, or loving the woman, and she's responding without respect. If you change, guys, and we learn that we're complementary pairs here designed to build and encourage, we're on the same team, lifting her up. When I begin to demonstrate Christ's love to my wife, it motivates her respect, and her respect continues to motivate my love. And we get off this crazy cycle, and it turns into an energizing cycle. And this is stuff that sociologists and relational experts are finding and discovering. And Paul, this is what he's trying to say 2,000 years ago. There's a role. It's been given to you by God. Things work best when you're doing it according to God's plan. We complement one another in this. We're on the same team. Let's keep going. Let's go back to the verse. Now, this is just really weird, all right? But it is for this reason that a woman ought to have authority over her own head. In other words, there needs to be a sign or a symbol of authority on the woman's head in Corinth. And this is the reason. What's the reason? Because of the angel. Huh? What is that? This is my speculation. All right? Because there's a lot of confusion. I did a lot of reading on this, and there's a lot of people say different things. So this is my speculation. The one thing that the angels understand really, really well, it's a chain of commands, and it's order. And they have seen those angels who said, we're going to do our own thing, and we're going to rise to be in this position. How'd that turn out for those angels who rebelled against the Father? Didn't go so well, did it? And those angels who rebelled are called demons. And the Bible says that the angels are even watching what's going on in the church because the angels don't quite understand. They are not able to experience the fullness of God's salvation. This is Ephesians chapter 3, all right? So they're looking at the church to get a picture of what this is all about. And when they see authority that's not being honored, and we're not exercising authority, guys, in a right way. Some guys don't like authority, and they run from it. That's wrong. Same way where women are not submitting because the guys are running from it a lot of times. And the angels are looking on and going, this is not okay. We have seen where this goes. And so you can say, and this is just pure speculation, when we've reversed the roles and we're not doing what God has designed or made us to do, it literally, in the eyes of God, according to Paul, it's demonic. It's because of the angels. This is what we're seeing. We got to compliment one another on this. We're going to work together on this. My wife and I, we're a team, 28 years. And I got to know her when we were dating. I'm like, wow, and I wanted to find out, who is this girl, and where is she going, and what does she want to accomplish? And really, she wants to go that way? I want to go that way too. We lined up perfectly. Well, let's get married so we can do this together. So now we're linking arm in arm, and we do ministry together, and we do life together. We're not arm wrestling to see who's right or who gets to do what this month or this week. We're in a team. And if we get to an impasse, we pray, and we seek the Lord's counsel and wisdom. But at the end of the day, she will be the first one to tell you, at the end of the day, I'm going to trust your leadership on this, Sean, because that's the way God has set it up. Whew. I know, controversial. Keep going. Here's another principle. Our gender roles are needed. Not only you complement, but you need one another, right? Remember what God said at the very beginning when he made men and women, or man? It's not good for the man to be what? Alone. It's not good for that dude to be by himself. When guys are by themselves, they get into trouble. Right? Every man in here is like, yep, that's true. Actually, none of the guys say that. But every woman in here says that about the guy, right? Yeah. Our gender roles are needed. Well, what's Paul say here? Let's keep going. Nevertheless, regardless of what you're hearing, what's going on, right? In the Lord, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. We're not independent of each other, right? We need each other. For as woman came from man, so also man is what? Yeah, so the only woman that ever came from a man without a woman's involvement was Eve. Every other dude has come from a woman, right? And so even though at the beginning, this is the way God created it, understand now, guys, you need a woman or you wouldn't be here. Right? Pretty simple, but that's what he's saying. But everything comes from God. This is all under his authority. It's all under his plan. It's all under his orchestration. It's the way it works. We need each other. We're not independent. Our culture goes the other way. Go ahead. Get married. And what happens is you get an independent woman getting married to an independent man. And she has her own bank account, her own friends, her own church service. She has her own lady nights out, right? She does all these things by herself, and her husband is the same way. He's got his own church. He's got his own bank account. And pretty soon what happens with these two independent people, a lot of times living under that same roof, is pretty soon she gets her own divorce attorney. He gets his own divorce attorney. Where is that coming from? Whew, can't get that out of my mouth. he gets his divorce attorney, right? And pretty soon there's an affair and there's an addiction. And they go their separate ways. No, we're to be together. God made you because it's not good to be alone. And you come together. Not as complimentary pairs, but you're needed. I need my wife. Guys, how many of you need your wives? Yeah, how many wives in here are like, oh, I didn't know that. Right? We need each other. This is all the way back at the beginning again. Everything Paul's doing is going back to give us a creation. He said, the man said this, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called, whoa, man. Because that's what he said. Because for she was taken out of man. Remember, out of the side. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. And they become what? One flesh. We're not independent anymore. We're together. I need this. Adam and his wife were now both naked, and they felt no shame. And that's the benefit of that intimacy and that union at the deepest level, to be together like that. We need each other. The roles that God had created are complementary. They're needed. It's an order God's put into effect. So here's the last point. Our gender roles now are not subject to cultural change or preference. No matter what's going on in our culture, as much as what's going on in the church of Corinth, and we want to change all of this because the ladies are just getting kind of the short end of the stick, and the guys are abusing their roles, and women are abusing their roles, and that's usually what happens, right? The reason we get into a lot of this gender role issue is because we've met people who are abusing their roles. We got to get back and get to the right order and doing it with the right spirit and the right heart and the right attitude that God created us with. Because God doesn't change. This is what he made. This is his plan. This is the way he set it up. The gender roles are not going to be subject to what your friends think, your professors think, your teachers communicate, anything like that. They're not subject to cultural change or preference. So Paul, after outlining his argument, he throws it back to the church at Corinth. And he says this. Read it with me. Judge for yourselves. You've heard everything I've just written, right? You've read everything I just wrote. Judge for yourselves now. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? And your answer would be? Okay, I got like two or three of you. That tells me we got. Yeah, there's a lot of us that are still on the fence on this. Yeah, so in that culture, the answer would be, it is not proper to come in here because by you flipping off that thing or cutting your hair to look like a guy, right, that's communicating total disrespect for the order that God has put into effect. And everybody's looking around going, whoa, yeah, what is up with that lady, right? What is she doing? And it's creating this tension and division. We don't have things like that in our culture. Churches have tried to do that and say, you got to wear hats, ladies. Or guys, don't wear hats in church. Or guys, you can't have long hair. Or ladies, you can't have short hair. Based on that passage of scripture, but that's not even what Paul's arguing. He says, if there is a culturally accepted norm that is showing a spirit of submission, then you should abide by that to show the submission and the authority that is prevalent in that culture. Don't be divisive, right? So whatever that might be, then we're going to reflect that in the way we dress and the way we conduct ourselves. That's what he's trying to communicate, I think. It's not saying you can't have short hair or you can't have long hair or you got to have your head covered. That's not it. It's like there is another issue here. And then he just says, even biologically, this is true. And he goes on, verse 14, does not the very nature of things teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a disgrace to him? Again, in that culture, there were guys growing their hair, not because it looked cool or they're comfortable with it, is that they wanted to be more effeminate. And that was a disgrace because it was a despising of the role that God had created for that guy. So just as nature says, if a guy has that long hair and it's being groomed like that, it's a disgrace to him. But that if a woman has long hair, it's her glory. For long hair is given to her as a covering. Right? Listen, I'm looking out, and there's several guys in here. You have, like, no hair. Right? And some of us have less hair than we used to. And there's a thing called male pattern baldness. And why do we have this and not a lot of ladies? Well, I just did some research on this week, and all I can say is there's a thing called testosterone that messes our hair up. So blame it on you got a lot of testosterone, dudes, if you've got a lot of hair going back. But even, and women don't. Most women do not go bald. So even genetically, that's what Paul's getting at. Just look around. Most guys, you're going to have short hair. Even though you may have long hair, I'm looking over here, Paul. Even though you may have long hair, your wife can grow longer hair than you, most likely. And it will continue to grow, right? And that's usually the case for all of us, gender-based, right? It's the women. God's wired it. Your hair just keeps growing and growing and growing. And us, it's like, where'd it go? Right? And he says, that's a sign. Even God just put it into that place that you shouldn't have anything on your head, Rex, right? Just don't have nothing there. And that's just a sign of authority. So, but a woman has that hair. It's a long covering. Even in nature, look, guys, it's an honor to have her hair down or have long or this. And so if it's God's plan that way, what's the big deal about just putting a covering over it when you come into church? So you can show, you know, that symbol of respect and submission to authority. God made you that way, so why not go ahead and just put on whatever's going on, humble yourself, and so you can no longer cause division in the church. See what he's saying? It's pretty straightforward and all that, I think. So the last one is this, verse 16. And he goes on, man, if anyone wants to be contentious about this, you ever met anybody who wants to be contentious? Yeah, no, they'll fight you tooth and nail on this, right? Paul's like, please don't. Because listen, we have no other practice. The practice is not of making the women put on veils or a head covering. The practice is honoring and submitting and dressing in appropriate ways to reflect the authority that is around us or above us, right? Even when you go to work, most of us have dress codes. Wear the dress code. Don't fight it. Honor the authority that's over you. That's all Paul's saying in this. That makes sense? And don't be contentious or fight over it, because we have no other practice, and neither does any other true church. That's the argument. So if you're here today, the question, what's the takeaway in all this? Well, the question is this. Is there an area in your life where you are bucking and fighting and resisting authority, and you're not submitting to that authority? You know? Inwardly, I may be conforming and sitting down, but, you know, outwardly, or however that saying goes, right? Outwardly, I may be sitting down, but inwardly, I'm standing up, right? Outwardly, I may be conforming. Inwardly, I'm waiting for the day, right? Is that what's going on inside you? And if it is, we need to confess that and take it back to the Lord. Lord, help me to deal with this issue of authority and submission, of role. Help me to understand that. If you're here and you're like, woohoo, I don't agree with anything you said, Pastor Sean, because my culture says I don't have to. All I could say is, could you prayerfully consider this? This is just the way God has wired it up. We don't want to be contentious about this either. And we're not going to go out and blast you or tear you apart. In fact, I would encourage, if you know somebody who's wrestling with gender roles and gender identity, instead of labeling anybody, why don't you get to know them? Why don't you go get a cup of coffee with them? Just hear their story. Find out their history. Love on them. See what happens. This is the heart and the attitude that Paul's trying to communicate. We do not want this church to be divided. And we don't want it to be divided over what women are putting on their head or not on their head. Because the message and the cause of Jesus Christ is so much more powerful and profound than that. And all God's people would say, amen. Amen. Let's pray together.